like my seat on Sunday mornings. I get to see a congregation that is a blessing to us, and brothers and sisters, and guests here, and it's just such a privilege. So thank you for coming. Praise the Lord that you're here. We're going to jump right into it this morning. Would you please stand? And let's start out by singing a couple of verses of "This World Is Not My Home." Praise the Lord for that. Help us to remember what we just sang in all sincerity. We pray this as we often cling to things that are around here, stuff that just goes away. As you said in your word, it's corrupted, it rots, it's destroyed, it falls apart. That's not heaven, and that's not truly our home. So we look forward, Father, to being with you until the day comes, Lord. Remind us where our citizenship truly lies, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me read to you this morning before we sing again. I'm going to read from a book called The Valley of Vision. It's a book that I've read from frequently in the past, a book of Puritan prayers, and emphasizing in this prayer the difference between earth and heaven and what our longings need to be. So let me read this prayer to you. O Lord, I live here as a fish in a vessel of water, only enough to keep me alive, but in heaven I shall swim in the ocean. Here I have a little air in me to keep me breathing, but there I shall have sweet and fresh gales. Here I have a beam of sun to lighten my darkness, a warm ray to keep me from freezing. Yonder I shall live in light and warmth forever. My natural desires are corrupt and misguided, and it is thy mercy to destroy them. My spiritual longings are of thy planting, and thou wilt water and increase them. Quicken my hunger and thirst after the realm above. Here I can have the world, there I shall have thee in Christ. Here is a life of longing and prayer, there is assurance without suspicion, asking without refusal. Here are gross comforts, more burden than benefit. There is joy without sorrow, comfort without suffering, love without inconsistency, rest without weariness. Give me to know that heaven is all love, where the eye affects the heart, And the continual viewing of thy beauty keeps the soul in continual transports of delight. Give me to know that heaven is all peace, where error, pride, rebellion, passion raise no head. Give me to know that heaven is all joy, the end of believing, fasting, praying, mourning, humbling, watching, fearing, repining, and lead me to it soon. Dear ones, this world is not my home. Let's stand and sing. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul.
Oh,
praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's be seated.
Much. There's so much truth in that song, isn't there? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we want to welcome you all here And especially if you are a visitor here with us this morning, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We do encourage you to visit the Connection Corner in the back corner there. And they have a gift bag for you. And they also have a card that you can fill out. Just let us know of your attendance with us this morning. We would appreciate that. So go ahead and visit that to learn a little bit more about church and to receive that gift bag. Just by way of reminder, Steve Douglas, of course, as you know, is with us. This morning he's going to be speaking. And then this evening he is going to give us a report on his ministry at 6 o'clock. And I'm going to try to use his wording here, and he'll correct me here in a minute if I get it wrong. But it's an overview of past and present ministries, as well as an in-depth of his current ministry. Again, if I got that wrong, he can correct me on that. But I believe that is what he's going to be doing this evening. So I encourage you to come back and to share in that this evening. By way of a personal note, I know many of you have been praying for the sale of our house. I want to let you know that actually did sell. So we are praising God for that. And we look forward to hopefully here in the near future getting our new home. I also want to just extend thanks to those who were able to, all of you, but especially those who were able to join us last evening at the just a little fellowship afterwards, and the cards of encouragement were greatly appreciated, and the gifts that you gave, just greatly appreciated. Again, we continue to be humbled as we join in ministry here at Independent Baptist Church, and just praise God for all of you. Steve, would you come and pray?
Prayer is one of the most incredible gifts that God has given us, and it's an incredibly powerful tool that God has given us. We pray at home, we pray at work, we pray on the road, we pray everywhere. Internet is never out when we're communicating with God, and we pray together as a church. God has commanded us to pray together as a church. There is power in prayer as we pray together. Let's stand and let's worship the Lord and thank Him and seek Him with our hearts this morning. Jesus once prayed, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Father, Lord, we know that you love us, that you are with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for this wonderful communication that we can have with you through the gift of prayer. We know, Father, that you are with us, that you have us in this world for a purpose. We seek to walk with you, to be light and salt, seek to be good example. We want to share your love in tangible ways and share your message, the message of hope, the message that we can have an intimate, internal, vibrant, living and eternal relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to live that message. Help us to share your love and that message near and far. We pray, Father, for the church, that you will bless this church. Pray that you'll protect it, carry it forward, extend our borders near and far. Help us to be a light. Help us to be able to reach out and help others in tangible ways. Help us to share your message, to be an encouragement, to share the truth. Your word is truth. We pray for all of the ministries, the services, the activities that we carry out in the church. Pray that you will bless each one, that you'll give wisdom to the pastors, the leaders, all of those involved in ministry, Father. We do this with your help. We seek your wisdom, your power. We pray, Father, that you will help us to do this for your honor and glory. We care about people. We want to help them. We want to reach out to them. We pray for those that are suffering, those that are ill and suffering. COVID continues to raise its head here in South America, around the world. We pray for those that have been ill, those that are suffering, those that have long-term COVID, Father, that you will have mercy on them, that you will touch them. Pray for others that are ill with cancer and other diseases, that you will put your hand upon them and encourage them. Show us how we can come alongside of them and encourage them and help them. Help one another, love one another, forgive one another, edify one another. We pray, Father, for all of the activities, the services, the activities of the church. Pray for your ministry around the world. Christians are suffering. Christians are suffering terribly in Ukraine. We think of so many millions that are being displaced from that country. Other Christians around the world are suffering. Generally speaking, we are quite comfortable here. And some of them are suffering and don't have a meeting place. Some of them have to meet out in the desert. As I reviewed recently with one of our teammates in Jerusalem, a young church plant that has to meet out in the desert. They have nowhere else to meet. So we pray, Father, for our dear beloved sisters and brothers in Christ around the world. We pray for our pastors and their wives and their families carrying heavy burdens as they carry your ministry forward near and far. We pray, Father, that you will help us to grow, that your word will sanctify us, that it will help us to be more committed, holy, to be a better representative of you. Bless each one that's here this morning and those that are listening in. Bless each marriage with any struggles that it has, each of our families, our children, our grandchildren. We cry out to you, Lord. You're our Lord, our God, our rock, our Savior. We depend upon you and no one else. We thank you and worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated.
Appreciate that so much. Thank you. And we thank the Lord for the cross. Thank him. Thank him that indeed, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Every so often, a roll is called in the United States to find out how many citizens or how many people exist in our country. And boy, what a process that is. Guess what? God doesn't make any mistakes. He knows exactly who is on his roll. And I'm thankful that all who know Jesus Christ can say, I'm on his roll because I'm a citizen of heaven. Let's stand and sing a couple more songs before Steve preaches.
Good morning, family of God, body of Christ, the bride of Christ. What a blessing to worship together. A couple weeks ago, I was in a conference in Pittsburgh talking to one of our teammates who is working in Jerusalem, and he was telling me about a young church plant, a new church that has to meet out in the desert outside of Jerusalem because they cannot find anywhere to meet so far. And it's a blessing to have this and have the freedom that we have. God is pleased. God is pleased when we are dedicated to him, his word, prayer, and the local body, we, the church. Church isn't something that we do. We are the church. We're the bride of Christ. God is pleased when we dedicate and have a commitment to Him, His Word, and the local church. For those of you that may not know us, I was born and raised here in Towanda. The church sent us out to be missionaries, workers in Peru. We just completed 37 years in Peru. Hard to believe that when I'm only 50 in my dreams. And as Eddie shared, we'll be giving an update this evening. Eddie said it perfectly. Even if he didn't, I wouldn't correct him. That's up to Jessica to correct him. I would not do that. But thank you, Eddie. This evening at 6 o'clock, sharing an update on our ministry, what God is doing. You have been with us. You've sent us out. You've been with us. The church here has been supporting us for about 40 years. And God is doing amazing things. We thank Him for that. We also praise Him for the sale of the house in New Jersey. God is big. What a blessing. Father, we seek You this morning. Your children, body of Christ, family of God, bride of Christ, we seek You, we love You, we worship You. Thank You for the fellowship that we have together, that we can worship You together, not just in our homes isolated. It's not Your plan. Sometimes You allow those limitations, but You created us to live and function in a community, both the family and in the church community family. Thank You for Your work in us and through us. Pray that You'll bless this church and carry it forward. Thank You for this time together this morning. Pray that You'll help us to grow in You, grow in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are we foreigners in our own land? Do you feel completely at home in the America of today? Let me mention some things to you. Do you feel comfortable with what you are seeing in America? Comfortable with what you're seeing happening around the world? Social changes, seems like every week. Violence and mass shootings are increasing. Political parties are divided at an unprecedented rate. Dictatorships and war atrocities. Droughts, forest fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, as the earth groans. Societal issues and changes affect families, businesses, schools, and our churches. What is happening? Seems like everything is turned on its head. Where will it all end? Do we feel confused, uneasy with what's happening today here and around the world, disheartened? Do we feel displaced? This is not the world that I grew up in. This is a different place now. It's a different thing. This is not the Bradford County or Pennsylvania or the United States or America or the world that I grew up in. What's happening? Do we feel confused, displaced? Do we feel like a foreigner in our own land? Like we kind of don't fit anymore. Do you know that the Bible actually talks about this topic? Talks about this topic, not feeling at home, feeling displaced. But remember this, in spite of all of the changes and everything that's happening and everything that may happen, remember this. God loves us and is with us and has promised never to leave nor forsake us. Amen? God is all-powerful and He has a plan. He knows what He's doing. He has a plan. Rest in Him, even though we feel uncomfortable and displaced. Rest in Him. And seek God with all of your heart. Continue to seek God. Seek God more than ever. Seek God with all of your heart. And we are safe in His hands. Well, what does it mean to be a foreigner? Debbie and I have experience along this line, as I mentioned. What does it mean to be a foreigner? What is it like to be a foreigner? You have to learn another language. So you go back to being a two-year-old. Chair. Table, food, And your brain is about to explode as you learn a new language and trying to assimilate everything and understand what they're saying and be able to speak it. And you feel like in language learning, your brain is about ready to explode. And then when you're early on, you're preaching a message and you're calling everybody a fish and saying that, we have fish in our life instead of sin. Because there's only one letter difference. Pekalo, peskalo. Pekalo, peskalo. I was calling people a bunch of fish. We have fish in our life. We have sin in our life. That's what it means to be a foreigner. It means that you always stand out, that my Spanish will never reach the level of English. It means that I'll always be identified as someone different because I will always speak with a little bit of an accent. I cannot speak exactly like they do, even though I can hear how it sounds. I cannot produce the sounds out of my mouth. I say one or two sentences and they say, "You're not from here." That's what it means to be a foreigner. Sometimes it means driving with no speed limits. There's tens of thousands of intersections with no stop signs. You just feel your way through, whoever's faster or bigger. Sometimes it means standing in line to pay the water bill or the electric bill or another bill. It means getting fingerprinted at Interpol to get your residency document. Yes, that's what it means to be a foreigner. It means going to birthday parties an hour late and you're still the first person there. It means greeting others with a hug and a cheek-to-cheek kiss, which is very common in that culture. It means having a concept of politeness that asks you to greet everyone in a group and not just a couple of people near you, but you try to greet everyone in the group as best as you can. It's always being a bit different and never feeling 100% at home. And since we've spent so many years down there, we feel a bit displaced. Sometimes we feel very much at home in Peru, and sometimes we don't feel at home. And it very quickly comes out that we don't fit in, we don't belong there. But we've been there so many years that when we come back here, how much has our culture and society and ecosystem changed in the last 37 years? And so sometimes we don't feel at home here either. And we feel we're caught in between. And sometimes we feel at home in both places, and sometimes we don't feel at home in either place. Foreigners. It means eating guinea pigs and raw fish with lemon and alpaca burgers. And it's always standing out. Being a foreigner means always standing out. It's always being a target for thievery or higher prices that they want to charge us more when they see us. It's renewing residency visas every year for many of our teammates. Renewing your residency visa every year, and it may take you 3 or 4 months to renew it. So 6, 7 months later, you start the process all over again every year and having to get a residency document visa. That's what it means to be a foreigner. Sometimes it means being attacked by the local religious leaders of the host country. Early on, someone knocked at our door, and we found out that they were the Peruvian FBI, and the local religious leader of our host country was so angry that we started what they call an evangelical church near them, that he called the Peruvian FBI and told them that I was the leader of a false sect, therefore I should be deported from the country. And they came to our home and they searched it illegally. And they sent agents to our church services to see what we were teaching. And they did several other things to attack us and try to get rid of us. What does it mean to be a foreigner? Sometimes that's what it means to be a foreigner. Sometimes. But it also means creating incredible new friendships. And it also means being able to share God's love in tangible ways and share His message, the gospel message. And it means being a participant of the worldwide church, as we see in this verse here. Being a foreigner in Peru means being a participant in seeing Christ build His worldwide church. It is being a participant of this verse. where people from all nations and tribes and peoples and ethnics and tongues will stand before the throne of the Lamb and worship him. And as being a participant of seeing that happen, of different people and tribes and languages and cultures coming to understand how to have a personal, intimate relationship with God and Jesus Christ, and being a part and seeing that happen and forming a nucleus of believers and seeing churches established and seeing those churches have a vision to reach other people locally and around the world, and seeing the churches in Peru reproduce and multiply, and seeing them send Peruvian missionaries around the world, whereby today we have Peruvians missionaries in over 25 countries of the world. Amen? Being a foreigner also means being a part of this, but you're a part of this locally. Yes, that's what it means to be a foreigner. Behold, every culture has elements that do and do not represent biblical positions. Marriage, family, authorities, law and order, love, sacrifice. Every culture ecosystem has elements that coincide with the Bible and elements that do not. That's part of what it means to be a foreigner, to understand that. But we adapt to various cultures. We identify with people. Identify with them as far as we can, but we're still different. We stand out. We're still a foreigner. We're still a target sometimes. We do not blindly imitate them or their customs, and we don't always feel fully at home anywhere now, anywhere. The Bible speaks to this topic of foreigners not feeling at home, things are changing. In your bulletin, you have an insert with some scripture verses. Can you pull that out and stand with me? We're going to read those. This morning, I'm sharing just an overview of this topic of foreigners. Really, it's a 3 or 4 week series. So what I'm sharing this morning is just the big picture, the overview, with a little bit of detail. We won't have time to go into all of the passages, all of the detail. But I wanted to paint a picture for you and remind you that we are foreigners living here where we are. And the Bible talks about this and shares with us a biblical perspective that we need to remember now more than ever, because our world has turned itself on its head and things will continue to deteriorate. God contemplated all of that. He speaks to this topic, and we know how to live and how to respond to what's going on around us. I will read the first passage. I'll have the men read the second one that comes, and then the ladies will read the third passage, and we'll continue down through these passages. John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them, we the believers, out of the world, but that you should keep us from the evil one. They are not of the world. We believers are not of this world. We are foreigners here, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. The key is the word of God in prayer, truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and we have been sent into this world to be light and salt. Ladies, men, now then we are ambassadors, we're foreigners, we're representing another country, we're representing another king, another authority. We are foreigners living here, we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And in this foreign country, this world, we are representing another king, Jesus Christ. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading with us, pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For our citizenship is in heaven. We are foreigners here. We're residents, foreigners. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And let's read all together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You may be seated. Thank you for participating with me in the reading of God's Word. These are the major verses that talk about this concept of us not being totally at home here, feeling displaced. It's not our home. We're foreigners. If you would review these verses at home this week, as I shared, I'm giving an overview of this topic, and you can delve into the details as you continue forward. Did you catch some of the terms in these verses related to foreigners? What are some common terms when we think about foreigners? Foreigners, strangers, sojourners, pilgrims, aliens, exiles, foreign residents, citizens, visitors, outsiders, guest. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that's who we are, that's what we are. We'll just glance at, some of these Greek terms that are represented in these verses. We know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. We go back to the Greek and look at some of those. In John chapter 17, when we look at the passages are here on your printed insert. But in John chapter 7, he says, I'm not of this world. The believers are not of this world. I don't pull them out of the world when they embrace me as Savior and Lord. I leave them in the world. I pray that they will not be devoured by the evil one, Satan, who is like a roaring lion. I've left them here to be salt and light and testimony and to share my message. But they're foreigners, they're aliens, they're foreign residents, they're strangers. They don't really fit in. They're not fully part of this world. They're part of my world. They're part of heaven. Their citizenship is in heaven. And in John chapter 17, it says, out ek kosmo, not of this world. We are not of this world. We are aliens. We are foreigners. We're foreign residents. We're visitors. The idea of not of this world, the orientation or source of our thinking of action is not of this world. It was to be viewed as very different from that of this world, not in sync with this world. We're aliens, we're foreigners, we're visitors. We are not to isolate ourselves from this world, but we're not of this world. We're just not part of it. We're different. We stand out. We should have an influence. We should impact lives. We should leave our mark, our fingerprint on eternal souls every day, everywhere that we go, and have that influence and that impact rather than letting the world influence us with its worldly philosophy and practices, and we begin to imitate them and embrace that. It should be the opposite. We should be influencing the world and having an impact on them. Leave your fingerprint, your mark on eternal souls. God will determine the fruit that he produces from it. But we're not from this world. We're not to imitate this world. We should not think or act or live like this world. We're different. Another passage that we looked at in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about we are ambassadors. So as an ambassador, to Peru, the American ambassador to Peru. He's not a Peruvian. He lives there. He's not a Peruvian. He's an American. He's a foreigner. So the ambassador is a foreigner living in a foreign country, representing that authority in that country. And the Bible says that's what we are in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, but he has left us here, every one of us, as ambassadors, representatives of Jesus Christ and his word, his will, his plan, his message, his will. And we are representing Christ here on this earth. It's not a matter of living our own life and living for ourselves here and getting all that we can and enjoying everything that we can in this world. And God has given us many wonderful things to enjoy. But it's not about just living here and enjoying everything that we can. We forget that we are representatives of Jesus living in a foreign land. And people are watching us. People are watching the ambassador in Lima, Peru. Who is he? How does he dress? How does he talk? What does he say? What is his actions, his reactions? What is his message? How is he representing? What does he bring to Peru from the United States? Yes, that is us. And so that's the word that we see here in the study sheet. In the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 5, Ephesians 6, we are ambassadors. We act on behalf of another. We represent and serve the purposes of another. We're a spokesperson. We do the bidding and will under his authority, and we are authorized to act. Just as it says in Matthew 28, Jesus says, I have all authority given me under heaven and earth. And with that authority, I send you into this world to be light and salt and share my love and my message, impact lives, share the gospel message, how people can have an intimate, vibrant, true, internal, eternal, real relationship with me through faith in my son. And you model that and you tell them how they can have that relationship, because just naturally they're not going to know. And you represent me and you share my word with this foreign world. Ambassadors. The next word we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, other passages. It's, do you really want me to pronounce these Greek words? It's not necessary, right? And my tendency is to pronounce them in Spanish, not English. So, this is the word aliens. It's really the word to alienate or to be aliens. Alienate, to be estranged, to be an alien, to be not part of the family. We think of aliens that come into the United States. There's illegal aliens, there's legal aliens, but we think of aliens as people from another country. They're not citizens, or they're not citizens yet, and they come and they bring their customs, their ideas, but they're foreigners and they're coming into our country, aliens. We've been born into this world. God, in his eternal purposes, has brought us into this world and knows exactly what he wants to do with us and how he wants to use us and help us. But we're foreigners, we're aliens in this world. We're here to be ambassadors, to represent Christ. We're not part of the family. We don't fully fit in. A similar word would be the next one, xenos. It's the idea of being a stranger in these biblical passages. It be a stranger. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger. You're a guest. Maybe you have a tourist visa. You come and visit us in Peru, and you get a tourist visa. You're a stranger. You're a visitor. You're here for a short period of time. And the Bible says that our life is like mist. We're here and we're gone. It's like cloud. We're here and we're gone. And we visit Peru. You visit Peru and you're a stranger. You're a visitor. You have a little document that gives you the right to be there temporarily. And then you return back. You leave. You're a guest. You're a stranger. You have a tourist visa. You don't belong. You're a foreigner. You're an unknown factor coming with your appearance and your customs and your words and what you do and you represent, and you're there for a while and you leave. That's what we are in this earth. 100 years is a long time, but not compared to 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years. We're just passing through. We have tourist visas to be here in this earth, or maybe something a bit longer than that. So the next Greek word is the idea of a foreigner, a sojourner. Sojourner isn't a common word, but I think we understand it. It's another word for alien or a visitor or a foreigner, a sojourner. It's interesting. This is made of two Greek words, para okos, which means to come alongside, in okos from the idea of a house, to dwell. So we come alongside another country, another people, to dwell for a while. The idea that we come alongside and we reside, we dwell with a foreign people for a period of time. And we're here alongside of them. Now, we weren't born there. We're not citizens. We're not from here. We're not going to be here forever. But this Greek word is the idea of that we've come alongside another culture, country, people, and we dwell with them, reside with them, live with them for a time. But we're still foreigners. We're not citizens. We weren't born there. We don't fully fit in. We're not the same. But we live among the people. We dwell there for a period of time. A sojourner, one who dwells in a foreign country, a temporary dweller, not having a settled place where he will reside forever. It's a shorter time, a period. Perhaps with this, we have what we have, a residency document. Sometimes we refer to sometimes we use the aliens or those that would come into our country. You have a green card, government-issued green card, which is a residency card that gives you permission, although maybe you're not a citizen yet, but you have a residency card to live here legally for many years. Well, that's us. We live here 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years. We have a residency card, but we're sojourners. We're just dwelling here for a period of time, living among those that are here. Another word appears three times in the Greek New Testament. The idea of pilgrims. I mean, when we think of pilgrims, we think of Thanksgiving, right? The pilgrims. But the pilgrims were people that left England in the old land and came to the new land, and they were called pilgrims. They're aliens. They were foreigners. Pilgrims. The idea to come and stay, to come and live alongside of us, to be near, to be among us, a stranger, a sojourner, a foreigner who has settled down among the people for a while. So it's similar to the previous word. This person has come. The pilgrims came to stay, right? They came to settle. And those that went west to open up the west, and they settled in the west. And this Greek word, a pilgrim, someone who has come to settle down and live among the people. But the pilgrims still weren't from the new land. They were from the old land. They were foreigners, but they came to settle down and live among the people and make their life. We make our life here, but we don't live as the world lives. We don't imitate the world. We shouldn't let the world influence us in our Christian worldview, our words, our actions, our decisions, but we live among them, as Jesus prayed in John 17. I don't pray that you take them out of this world. They are in this world as my ambassadors, representatives, but they're not the same. Stand out. They're not a citizen. They're not a tourist for a few days, but they're not a citizen either. They're a pilgrim. They're a resident for a period of time. We've made our home here, yet it's not fully our home. The next Greek word is similar, sojourning, referring to when Israel went down to Egypt, and they were there approximately 400 years. That's a long time, right? It's a long time. But that was not their home. They were foreigners. After 400 years, they were still seen as foreigners. Remember that? Book of Exodus? After 400 years, the Israelites were still viewed as foreigners, these people. And these people are growing stronger and more than we. And if they ever unite their forces and decide that they're going to revolt against us Egyptians, they could possibly take us over. We better do something. We better kill all of the male children, which is the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, because these foreigners are repopulating so much, they're growing so strong, God is with them. After 400 years, they were still foreigners. We are foreigners. We are sojourning. We are living with and among them, but we are not citizens, and we are not the same. We should not be the same. Another Greek word is citizenship that we see in Philippians 3. In this case, yes, our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors of Christ. That is our home and an eternal home. We're just living here and dwelling among earthlings for a while, for many years. Citizenship, the idea of our citizenship, our conversation, our identity, our community. Who is our true community? This world? With whom do we truly identify? This world? Who are we truly a part of? This world? No. It's Jesus. It's in heaven. It's all of the believers that have gone on before us and all of the believers that will follow us. That is our community. That is our identification. The local church is Christ's body, church, community here on earth until we finally go home forever. We should identify with this body of Christ. We need to be faithful to God, His Word. We need to be faithful to the local community of believers, the local church. The church is not a club where we come when we feel like it, and if not, not. The church is not a club where we pay our dues, and then that gives us the right to vote or do whatever we want or not, whatever. Church is not a club. The church is who we are. It's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. It's who we are. We need to reaffirm our identity, dedication to this community. This is our community. This is not our community. This is our community. This is who we are to identify with. This is who we are part of. And with other believers around the world and until God calls us home. We are citizens. We identify with our relationship, our rights, our conduct. Debbie has dual citizenship, also do our two daughters, Nicole and Stephanie. They have Peruvian official citizenship and U.S. citizenship. I remember back in the day when the girls were little, I was carrying 7 passports and other documents. You leave Peru on the Peruvian documents, you switch passports in the airplane, and you enter the U.S. state, U.S. as a U.S. citizen with your U.S. passport. And so 2 for each of them and me, 7 passports, and my Peruvian document that you saw, Debbie has a Peruvian document, and all of this stuff. But citizens, dual citizenship. Well, in this case, no, we only have one citizenship, spiritually speaking, in heaven. A final word here is similar to this one. Fellow citizens, yeah, citizenship and fellow citizenship. Soon, polites. Soon means together with, and polites is the idea of a citizen. So we're not lone, isolated citizens. We are citizens together with each other, identifying with the body of Christ and with heaven. How wonderful that we're not just citizens, each one in our own right, well, by God's grace. But we're isolated, we're silos, we're islands, we're alone. We're citizens, but we're alone. No, this word represents the idea that we are citizens, fellow citizens, one with another, and we're not isolated. And we don't have to walk through this life alone. We don't have to be an ambassador for Christ alone. We can do it with fellow citizens, the church, where we pray for each other, edify each other, help one another, watch out for another. The 50 one another commands in the New Testament is part of the fellow citizenship that we have in the local body of Christ and with the worldwide body of Christ as well. So that let's look at, in your Bibles, Colossians 3, a passage that we read earlier. Let me just mention to you that applications of citizenship mean that we have to have a different way of thinking. And we have to have a different speech. And we have different customs and behavior. We'll always stand out. We'll always do some American things in Peru, no matter how many years are there. We have different customs. We'll always do some things that will cause us to stand out. We will always stand out in our customs and behavior, our speech, our way of thinking, our clothing. Our clothing can be different. And obviously, scripturally speaking, we are to put off sexual immorality, put off lying and stealing, put off the concept of imitating the world and thinking like the world, and we are to put on new clothing of love and peace and joy and holiness and honesty So the way we dress ourselves as foreigners in this world needs to stand out. We need to be seen as being different. And we travel. Our traveling is different, but we're citizens in heaven. And in Colossians chapter 3, remember I shared with you that I'm just giving the overall picture, the overall summary of this topic of being a foreigner. We didn't have time to delve into all of the details, although we did see the Greek words that are referred to in the Greek New Testament. Study it. Study at home. Review this. Review it with your family. Give applications. How does this play out in your marriage, in your home, at work, at school, on the soccer field, the football field, the tennis courts, in the grocery store, when they give you too much change back? As a family, talk about how do we apply this biblical truth in each of these areas. May the Holy Spirit enlighten us and show us how to do that, that we're a bit different. But in Colossians 3, if then, you're with me there, if then you were raised with Christ, and we have, what do we seek? All the best of this world can offer. Focus on this. What do we seek? What does it say? Those things which are above. Why? Because that's where our citizenship is. That's our future home. He says, let's invest in our future home. We invest here. We live. We dwell among people. We're ambassadors. We want to share God's love in tangible ways and share his message of hope and salvation. We're dwelling here. That requires a certain investment. But we want to invest more in our future home, as Jesus said in Matthew 6. Lay not up what here on earth? Treasures. Lay not up treasures and invest everything we have in the here and now. Let's invest in the future. Let's seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For if you died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. I will always be a foreigner in Peru. By the time we retire, if the Lord so wills, we'll have been in Peru over 40 years at that time. I'll still stand out. I'll still have an accent. My Spanish will never be as good as English. I'll be different. I prefer the word different over weird, but maybe weird too. I stand out. I'm a target, but I'm a foreigner. I accept it. I know what I'm there for. We are foreigners. We dwell among the people here. Do we know what we are about? This message is a reminder. With the world falling apart and certain elements are going to get worse, and as all of that is happening, and we're beginning to say, I really don't feel at home, and the response is, good. We shouldn't feel at home here. This is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're foreigners. We're foreign residents for a time, but we represent Christ, and we're his spokesman, and we have a message to share on behalf of Christ. And we really need to continually raise our eyes, and we need to look up every day. Look up. Don't just look here and everything that we have here to enjoy that God has blessed us with. Look up. Every day, look up. That's where I'm going. That's my home. That's where I'm a citizen. I have fellow citizens that I work with and worship with, and we help one another. And we have a task here, and it's about the task. It's not just about living comfortably here. It's what the Bible says about this topic. It's what the Bible says about this topic. May God help us as we go forward. Father, we thank you for this time this morning. We do worship you. We seek you. With many things falling apart, Father, we are reminded that you love us, you are with us, you will never leave nor forsake us, that you are all-powerful, you have a plan, you're in control, you know what you are doing, you know what you want to do. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to seek you and be a part of the community and be a good ambassador for Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Steve. As we wrap up this morning, I'm going to sing one more time that first verse of "This World Is Not My Home." Media team, if you can bring us to that point, and let's stand and sing that this morning as we finish. So much scripture to say. We don't belong here. We belong to the Lord in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing. Thank you, Lord, for a future and a hope in you, promised from the beginning for all who believe in you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you made it very clear that we belong to you. Our citizenship is with you, Lord. Help us to remember this is a journey here. The destination is with you in your presence in heaven. Thank you so much. We pray you have a good time this morning as we go back to Sunday school. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.